Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Football Social Daily with German Doner Kebab. Now 40 restaurants across the UK. Find out where at germandonerkebab.com.
Hello, this is Football Social Daily. Happy Friday, we made it. I'm Jim Salverson, that's Marley Anderson.
Hello.
That's Lee Whitehouse.
Hello.
And we have definitely not shaken hands before today's podcast because we're not taking any chances in the Sports Social office. So we're going to
shake your hand anyway, Jim.
I don't know where you've been.
Any given moment.
Right, we're going to box off all the football news on today's podcast over the next 40 minutes. So you are 100% ready for the weekend's action and our weekend preview show. That'll be out tomorrow morning. Hit subscribe on your podcast app to get that show as soon as it's ready. On today's podcast, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is going to be wishing for relegation after showing just how dominant Manchester United can be as long as they're playing Championship opposition. A sparkling Wayne Rooney performance wasn't enough for Derby County in the FA Cup last night. We'll pick over the bones of that. There are calls for the League Cup to be scrapped to ease fixture congestion. We're going to discuss whether it's time to lose England's second cup competition, and time is ticking down for the Fantasy Football Games Week deadline. Hold off that last ditch transfer for a few more minutes because we're going to be joined by our FPL guru very shortly for some tips ahead of the weekend's action. But let's start with the FA Cup game last night, Manchester United versus Derby County, Championship opposition, who, in truth be told, didn't really offer much opposition for Manchester United.
Not really, no. It was a fairly straightforward victory for Man United, wasn't it? They played a pretty strong team, Man U, and it was like, if this team doesn't just roll Derby over, you kind of get a bit worried. Mm. I mean, I was quite surprised Bruno Fernandes played 70 minutes, considering they were 2-0 up at half-time. I thought they'd take him off and save him for the Derby on Sunday, which is obviously a massive, massive game for Man United. But yeah, they were pretty comfortable. Ighalo seems to have slotted in fairly well. He seems to be finding his stride. I think he's got three now in his
two starts. Three and two starts.
There
for
you go.
A player that looked like he was a bit of a panic buy at the
he's
time.
Not even fit either at the moment, is he?
No.
They're saying he's not fully up to speed.
So. Yeah. Well, we know he's a good player from Watford. I mean, we don't know whether he's going to get a longer term deal at the end of the season, but I enjoy it while it lasts. I mean, he's got three goals in two games. He's living his little boyhood dream, whatever it was he was talking about. He's playing well. Man United are in a good, I think they're the best form team in the country at the minute.
I wonder about Ighalo, whether he flatters to deceive a little bit at the moment, because it is, like you say, three goals in two starts. None of the goals have looked particularly impressive, and I haven't watched entire games, so I might be being a little bit unfair on this, but I'm not entirely sure he's offering a massive amount outside of that. But at the same time, yeah,
it doesn't really matter. His job is to score goals.
I think that's what Man U need, though. Like, if you think about Martial, most of the goals he scores are like good goals.
He
so watching, you think,
city,
yeah, you need someone to score them ugly goals. Like, if you look at Alan Shearer's 260 Premier League goals, how many of them were were scrappy sort of tap-ins and penalty box predatory goals, probably about 200 of them.
And Andy Cole was the same, wasn't he? He did was score tap-ins. Andy
Robbie
Cole.
Fowler.
He didn't score. I mean, Owen. When he was at Newcastle, arguably he scored some really good goals if you look at his record. But United, it was just, sometimes they need that fox in the box, and United have been missing that killer instinct. And if he's not even fully up to speed, so they're saying he's not fully fit yet. So imagine when he is, if they're creating the... United do create chances. I mean,
They do now. Bruno Fernandes.
Fernandes. I mean, he's just hit the ground running, since he's turned up.
He's such a spark for them. He's crazy everything they were missing.
Yeah, it's crazy really that they took so long to get him, especially when they knew the start of the transfer window, he was their main target.
Yeah.
They just haggled over price for... We won't get into that, but... You know, if they'd had him a month earlier,
18 months earlier. I mean, that's how long they've been negotiating it. Pretty
is that how long they've been after? Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. If they'd have got him in at the start of the transfer window in January, they'd have been so much. The amount of games you get in January, you'd have been so much better off from both leagues. I mean, they're already in a good cup position anyway. But
slight distraction from the game last night. But do you think we're going to see a team at Manchester United? And it's a big if this, and it's pure speculation. Will we see Bruno Fernandes and Paul Pogba playing in the same midfield? Because if that combination played together, that's frightening.
Well, we sort of discussed this a little bit yesterday, and none of us could really come up with, like, we don't know really, because it's a formation thing. If they fancy keeping him in terms of keeping Pogba, you know,
I think they want.
I don't know. Is he worth
keep
it?
Pogba, but.
Same midfield is amazing.
I think
that'd be brilliant.
Surely Manchester United want to keep Pogba, but it's how much Pogba wants to stay at Manchester United. Yeah. That's the question.
It seems like Solskjaer have had enough of him now anyway, so he's quite happy.
There's a lot of noise comes out of Pogba, and that's the problem I think with him. He comes with a hefty price tag. He hasn't really delivered on that either. I don't think he's never really hit the heights that we all were hoping that he would when he came back to England. And you see, you know, when you watch him in the French team, he's just a different beast.
Yeah.
And he just doesn't seem to have turned up for Man United. So would you cut your loss?
What's the best thing he's ever done for Man United? I'm thinking maybe the Derby game when he scored two goals when they come from 2-0 down or whatever it was. Other than that, I'm struggling to pick out a performance, but.
He's still a world-class player,
He's still class. Like, if you can get 100% out of him, then...
And we've seen a lot of players go to Manchester United now and play poorly at that club. So you have to wonder how much of it's the player and how much of it's the team around them. And if you are starting to build a team, and if you have got Bruno Fernandes in place, and you have got Rashford who's playing well, and you've got Harry Maguire at the back, and you're starting this development, then you want Paul Pogba at the centre of that.
Yeah.
You would.
You do, yeah.
The players you mentioned there, that spine of that team, if you throw Pogba in there as well, they're on about selling De Gea, but they've got Henderson at Sheffield United who's going to come in, is what the thought process is. So the spine of the team will be brilliant for United, is then what they put around it. But Pogba would be excellent in that.
Yeah.
So, how much is it Pogba's agent, though? I mean, this is the other thing. We hear all the noise, but actually it's his agent that appears to be making a lot of the noise. Yeah. So we don't know if it's Pogba, and we don't know if it's his agent. We never know what's going on with these superstars anymore.
We're falling into the trap here of being a bit Graham Souness-esque and talking about Pogba when he hasn't even stepped foot on the pitch. So I'm going to pull it back to the FA Cup game last night, because a load of the chat pre-game was about Wayne Rooney and whether he was going to celebrate if he scored a goal. Turned out that wasn't an issue at all, but he did put in a... close to being a man of the match performance as well. He just sat in the middle of the park for Derby, didn't really do any running at all. He had a couple of young midfielders either side of him to do all the running about for him, but he looked impressive last night.
If he's that type of player that he's had it since, I mean, we've seen him when he burst onto the scene at 16, he's just oozes class. You can imagine him, you know, he sits in the Championship, he's wasted for me. He could be mid-table Premier League player. I think he left too early, in essence. You know, he's done everything though, hasn't he? Top goal scorer at United, played for his boyhood club again, Everton, went to America, you know, did really well over there. He's just class, isn't he? Some of these players, there's certain players that they grow up and you think to yourself, these boys could just do it anywhere. Giggs was another one. He went in central midfield. Scholes, Beckham, you know, those kind of players are just so talented that they just make it look easy. And since he went to Derby, I mean, he must have thought when he went back into Derby, because he made that agreement when Lampard was there. So I think that was why that agreement never happened. But they were struggling. Derby was seriously struggling in the league, and they've never they haven't managed to kind of pick up from last season when they got to into the playoff final. But since he's been there, they've just rocketed up the league. They're flying at the moment. They're, you know, West Brom's got to play them soon. We're dreading playing playing them. It's gonna, you know, they are really an informed team in the Championship at the minute, and it's all down to his presence. You know, that's what he's brought to that club.
He's a leader as much as anything, yeah. I guess, and he has. I mean, credit to him, he has changed his position, and he's gone from being the striker to this almost quarterback role that we saw him play for England a number of times towards the end of his England career. Do you agree with Lee, though, Marley? Could you see him fitting into a Premier League team somewhere and being able to cut it in the top division?
I still think he's got the quality to do it, yeah, but the whole package at Derby is what he was looking for at the time in terms of...
A load of money.
A load of money, a route into the coaching. He's a player coach at Derby. He's not just a quarterback-style midfielder. He wanted a route into the coaching, so they offered him that. And he's got a chance as well on the pitch. He plays every game, and Derby have quite a young midfield around him. I was looking at the team just then. So he played in a five-man midfield last night. It was him and Max Bird in defensive midfield. Mm. And then there was Jason Knight and Louis Sibley ahead of him. Knight, Sibley and Bird were born in 2000 and 2001. Wow. Wayne Rooney scored as a 16-year-old against Arsenal in 2002.
I think if you add the ages of Max Bird and Louis Sibley together, if you add their ages together, they're still younger than Wayne Rooney.
They probably are, yeah.
Something along those lines.
Yeah. Derby's a good fit for him. I can't see Cocu staying there that long because Derby aren't doing very well in terms of league position this year. They're always in and around the playoff.
Usually, yeah.
Playoff picture. But they're not... I think they're like 14th or 12th, something like that, like mid-table. So they're way off that.
13th at the moment.
13th, so I can't see Rooney not being manager in the next sort of couple of years.
I find it really difficult to see Wayne Rooney being a football manager. And it kind of made sense with the likes of Steven Gerrard and Frank Lampard and these players from the same generation that we've seen take that step up to management, because they always seemed the considered, thoughtful players. I mean, Rooney never really had that aura about him, did he?
Not so much. It's they seem a bit more charismatic, don't they? Lampard and Gerrard, and a bit more calculated. Rooney's a bit more. Every time he does the interview, I've never seen him not start an interview with and it's like he doesn't seem the most like engaging character. But when you've done that much on the field, I think you can walk into
it.
Really,
I think he suffered a little bit from the press when they were hounding him. He's done a lot of stuff off the field which he probably shouldn't have done. You know, the last story's coming out, you know, the cheating and everything, you know, the rest of it that he's done, plus he's drinking in the, you know, the England story. Southgate wouldn't have any of that, and you know, I think a lot of it gets blown up, and we have this image of Rooney as, you know, he's a bit of a Jack the Lad, goes against the rules. And you know, I think that probably goes against him in terms of his image, but it doesn't mean that he wouldn't be able to bring something to a club. And if you're a young player in a dressing room and you're going in and you've got Wayne Rooney stood there, that must give you so much. And if he's telling, if he's a manager and he's telling you he believes in you, that must just make you feel 10 feet tall. It brings such a difference to what a young player, you know. And I think the likes of look what Lampard did, that same thing at Derby last year. You know, what he did in that Derby dressing room, that team should never got anywhere near the playoffs. In essence, there was a lot of unknown around that team, a lot of young players, but he made them look like, all of them look like leaders. Mason Mount come out of nowhere last year. He was brilliant, and he stepped up again this year. So I think that these players, they're iconic figures, and it does make a huge difference to, especially when you're bringing young talent through now, who these guys have been looking up to all their career.
The other player that impressed on the pitch last night was Luke Shaw, who some people rated as man of the match, who is a player whose career looked all but over maybe a couple of months ago. He got a goal and an assist last night. He's had a couple of decent games for United now. Do you think he can rescue his United career? Can he save it?
Well, I'm not sure. I don't know. He's one of them where when he first went into a poor spell of form, it was like eventually he's going to get back to where he was when he was had that amazing season for Southampton at like 19 or whatever he was. And he's never seems to have come out of that form. He always seems a little bit lacking in confidence for me. Like he's not as sort of bullyish as bullish, should be the word, as he could be. Like, he could take more charge for me. Like, he seems a bit sort of timid and he could get forward a bit more, but I think the pressure of playing for Man United is a little bit too much for him. I think he'd be better at a slightly smaller team, funnily enough, like Southampton. I think he'd be perfect there, but I don't think he's quite good enough in his current state to be part of this sort of big rebuild at Man United. I still think there's a good player there, but
he does a job when he's in. I mean, he played well last night, but as Marley said at the very start, Derby offered very little last night. You know, he was able to literally bomb forward with no concern about what was coming the other way. Where I think in the Premier League, you know, that's easily exposed, especially with the pace that teams counter attack at in that league. So,
does he need to reinvent himself as a player? Because he isn't quite the player he had at Southampton. He's lost a bit of pace. He's suffered with injuries. We know he's suffered with fitness as well. But we've seen him used by Solskjaer as a centre-back on occasion now as well, where he actually did very well for Manchester United as a more solid, less commitment to going forward.
Third centre-back, was it, in that weird system?
Did he play in a back three?
I think he was alongside...
You wouldn't put him in a two, I don't think, but...
No.
Potentially he could do. He's got the knowledge of the game and he can read the game, I suppose. So, but as we saw, I really rate Kyle Walker. I think he's such a talented fullback. But when he went into a back three with England, he just struggled. You know,
that scared me.
You know, it's a totally different position. You know, the positioning's totally different.
Some
from
can
the
do
start.
It, some can't.
Yeah, and it's now maybe coaching in time he could probably pick that up, but it's not. And I don't think it's an easy one to go from. Fall back to centre half, or by any stretch. So, he's got the opportunity there. If I suppose it depends, but you said yourself, Jim, these players don't seem to be getting better at United. So, is the coaching right there to actually make him into that position? Mm. If he was at a Man City, and you thought to yourself, could Pep work with him to make him into a back three? Yes, 100%, because you see the development happening in front of your eyes, but you don't see it at United. So, I'm not convinced he could do that there. Maybe it's just the management. I don't know, but I think Mike's probably right. He may need to go to just a smaller Premier League club, really.
So what's just baffled me, I just looked at Luke Shaw's age. I thought he was about 27. He's 24.
He's only a kid.
That's ridiculous.
Young,
he's been around for about 6 years.
But wasn't he 17 when he made his debut for Southampton?
I think he might have been.
It was along those lines. I mean, you talked about this yesterday on the podcast a little bit, but just to touch on it again, you talked about Manchester United's season, and everyone's sort of described it as a bit of a disaster. But when you actually look at the facts of it, they're now in the quarterfinal of the FA Cup. You'd fancy them to go to the final, at least. They've got pedigree in the FA Cup. In the league, they're in fifth position if they manage to get a win in the derby against Manchester City and Chelsea slip up against Everton, which again isn't out of the question. They'll be in top four. A top four finish and an FA Cup final.
You take it, wouldn't it?
That's all right for Manchester United, isn't it? That's pretty good for Solskjaer.
They're still in the Europa as well. I mean, we've got that. They're still in there. I was thinking that when they got through the Europa League, you look at the league table, you think, actually, this isn't a disaster that's happening there. Mm. I mean, they could easily win the Europa. We discussed it last week. You know, they could easily go on to win that. They can get to the final of the FA Cup. No reason why not. The draw against Norwich, it's probably gone their way when you look at who was left. Maybe Newcastle would have been the other one. Sorry, Mark. but, you know, there's no reason why this couldn't be a trophy-winning season for them to start with. They could win the FA Cup and they could win the Europa. But a top four finish, if they get that, that'd just be a great season for them. From where they came from at the start as well, because everyone had, bear in mind, Solskjaer's had this thing where everyone's been writing him off all year. Pochettino became available. Everyone was like, sack him now. Let's get Pochettino in. Let's start this rebuild with Pochettino. So to actually do what he's been, and he's also stuck to his philosophy around wanting to bring in this core English, live the dream of playing like United did back in the 90s when they were great. But he's stuck by that. Yeah. And if he can do that, and get him into a top four and win a trophy, whichever one it is. What a season that'll be for them. It's actually turning out to be probably a lot better than what Man United fans would have thought back in November. I'd have said.
I suppose the danger is for Manchester United fans, or certainly for some Manchester United fans, that if this season is deemed a success, if they get top four foot, but if they win the FA Cup and do right in Champions League, they won't get rid of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. It'll stick around, which a lot of United fans, even if they have success this season, wouldn't want. They want Pochettino. Or they want Allegri, or they want whoever the big name is.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, you can't have both. You can't have success and then change your manager, because there's no reason to change your manager if you've had a successful season. So it's one of them where I said yesterday, I don't think he's the best manager in the world. I think there are better managers for Man United out there and possibly even available. However, the things Solskjaer has done in terms of signings, you put him in charge to rebuild the side and to be in charge of this new wave of players, and none of them have failed. None of them have been crap. They've all been good players. Wan-Bissaka, Maguire, James, Bruno Fernandes, they've all been good. Even Ighalo on a short-term deal, he's good.
Then you wonder what the issue was with transfer signings before. Is Solskjaer really in charge of transfers? It seems massively unlikely that suddenly an ex-player who Ed Woodward can bully a little bit comes into the club and he goes, do you know what, I've been pushing Mourinho around in terms of who you can sign, but you could have the chequebook. It doesn't make sense.
Well, all of a sudden all these players are coming in, so maybe he's not as much of a PE teacher as people accuse him of being every now and again, you know what I mean? It's one of them where all of a sudden the floodgates have opened. Whether it's just a happy coincidence, which it might well be.
It could be.
It might well be, but at the end of the day, Solskjaer's the man in charge. He's the man who's putting them on the pitch, and they're all doing well. So I don't think there's a case to even like legitimately think we can do better than you, mate.
This is a team that's also beat City twice this year. I mean, that's no mean feat. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, to beat them once, everyone's like, oh, okay, beautiful. But then to go and beat them again in the cup and really get themselves back into that competition, although into that game anyway, they were obviously looked out of it after the first leg, but they gave themselves a real chance in that second leg, and they're
Sunday
putting the
will be
right
massive
performance
for them.
Oh god, yeah, I mean that's gonna
that
be a great game. That derby is gonna be huge. I mean, it ain't so much for City, I don't think they're just gonna sit whether they're bothered or not. Yeah. You know, that's up for debate now that Leicester seem to be tailing off a little bit. They're just kind of
eye on Real Madrid as well.
Yeah.
Problems at the back. They've got Kevin De Bruyne potentially out with a shoulder injury. United will fancy it this weekend.
You can see United doing something there. In the form they're in, they're playing well. If they can get Fernandes on the ball and you know start pulling some strings in that midfield, then they've got a real chance. Especially they've still got
Old Trafford as well.
Yeah,
they'll fancy that.
They will fancy it. As long as the other issue is that United's defence don't keep clean sheets very often, do they? So chances are they're going to have to score at least two or three if they're going to. So, and that's a question whether they've got it in them to score two or three.
Yeah.
On the day, because that has always been the question mark around United. I think
we're going to talk about the other cup competition shortly, rather than the FA Cup. We'll leave that there. We'll talk about the League Cup and its future, because it's been called into question after fairly high up calls for it to be scrapped. We'll talk about that next, and we'll get some fantasy football advice on Football Social Daily.
Football Social Daily with German Doner Kebab. Find your nearest GDK restaurants at germandonerkebab.com.
I love my club. Every match, the manager, every player who's pulled on the shirt. Don't just talk to me about football. Talk to me about my one and only. I love my club, but I don't love them up the road.
Listen to daily smart speaker updates for your Premier League team and your team only with Sports Social. Get closer to the club you love. Ignore the ones you don't. Just say, Alexa, enable Sports Social and choose your team.
Football Social Daily. Subscribe to the podcast now so you never miss an episode.
Welcome back to Football Social Daily. Let's talk about the League Cup, which has been an issue under debate all season pretty much. Is it time to scrap the second cup competition in England? This is after comments recently from UEFA president Alexander Kefirin, who says it is time to ditch the cup for the sake of everybody, was his quote. Do we think it's time to get rid of it? There's been complaints about fixture congestion all season. That is a simple solution to sorting out fixture congestion. You get rid of the League Cup. None of the other top five countries in Europe have one. So why have we got two?
I don't know why we've got two, but we've always had two, haven't we? So we're kind of used to it. I'm not really bothered. I don't see why it should go. I don't think, because it's at the start of the season as well, like it's done by February. So it's, you know, the first or second round is in the first couple of weeks of the season. So it's just kind of like, it's nice to have, when the season comes back, I quite like that there's two games in a week because you've missed football for 3 months. Yeah. And you're like, oh, finally it's back, and then Newcastle are playing on Saturday and Tuesday, so I get to watch them.
It's when you get
be
that
crap for 180 minutes,
period, isn't it? It's when you get to the Champions League games kicking and the group stages kicking.
Yeah,
in,
that's,
and
what, that's what
you
it
get
is.
To the
when
Christmas...
you're in the Premier League, though, you play so few games at the start of the season. Right, I mean, the league starts.
Comes the boy from the Championship.
Like... Well, indeed, yeah.
105 games a season. Never did us any harm.
No, but they cram. They don't. They seem to. I mean, the Premier League seems to cram the games in around November, December and January. They just throw all these fixtures in, then they try and throw a break in the middle of it for 2 weeks. It just seems mad that they don't decide to try and spread the fixtures out a little bit more. Let the Premier League clubs play midweek a bit more. I think they play, twice, midweek games, a full fixture list in a season. It's like,
yeah, so
just give them, just give them a few more midweek fixtures.
I think it's
and
very
spread
easy.
It out a bit more.
I think it's very easy for us to say, why can't football players play more games of football? Because it's just a game of football. And I'm sure if we were getting paid 100 grand a week, we'd quite happily play 7 days a week if it was called upon. But I think there is a genuine issue there, purely on the weight of evidence that says there is an issue there.
The
amount of managers and players that are going, we are playing too much football, you kind of have to bow down to their expertise and their knowledge and go, all right, well, if you're saying you're playing too much football, you probably are.
Well, I think Even the Championship clubs put their second team out in the start of the league. And the Premier League clubs are the same. It gives them an opportunity to actually put their second string out, see who can put in a performance, see who's willing to pull their weight.
Yeah.
You know, I think the other factor is it does give the smaller clubs an opportunity to see the big players come. I mean, did Rochdale play Man United this season in that competition?
Yeah.
That's a great day out for Rochdale. I mean, and they gave United a game as well. Let's not... I think they didn't. They did turn up in that game, Rochdale. And I think it's just another opportunity, you know, for some of these smaller clubs to get a game against the big boys. And like I say, the clubs are big enough now to put out a second string, just a strong second string together. I mean, the League Cup's been won by Man City the last. So it's not like the big clubs aren't taking it seriously either.
Yeah.
You know,
they're just kind of coasting towards the final. Once you get to the final, the semi-finals, it's like, it's probably the big four, really.
I'd scrap the two-legged semi-final. I think you just put it into a neutral venue, I think, and just let them go with it. Or just whoever's drawn at home, just go with it. You can scrap that. But I don't see... There's other opportunities, I think, to free up congestion. They're not about sacking, getting rid of the replays in FA Cup. That's an opportunity.
I quite like that as an option. I think that's quite healthy. And I know we've had that debate on this podcast before and we've said it could scupper the potential money-grabbing replays for lower league clubs. But I think it's just, if you're going to lose games somewhere, that makes a lot of sense.
If you're a football club that's relying on a replay to keep your club afloat, there's something wrong with your football club. It's been poorly run at that point. So that's something that the EFL need to get involved in, if that's one of the arguments against it. Or you just restructure the payments in terms of the FA Cup. You make it a more even split against the clubs that are entering. So I can't imagine that Man United and Man City are that asked about wherever money they're going to get from winning the FA Cup this year. Are they that bothered? I don't think they are. I think it's probably about winning it, isn't it?
It won't be much more than the difference between a couple of league places.
Yeah.
Like, if it's one and a half, 1.7 million per place in the Premier League, you probably don't get that much from winning the FA Cup in terms of prize money, so they're not really that bothered. I do think there is a need for replays, but I think there could be alternatives that are just as lucrative. For example, if you're one league below a team and you take them and it's a draw and it goes like straight to penalties or extra time, maybe have like a, instead of getting 20% of the match gate, you get 50% if you get a draw. And then that's another 150 grand or whatever it is. And then you also get an increased share of the TV money if it's shows for TV. But there's other ways around it to secure smaller teams financially, I think, because there's just a million things you can do with money. You can split it evenly. You can add bonuses in everywhere and
what have
you. There
needs to
be
a lot more done to protect clauses and clubs in the first place.
What's been great this year about the League Cup as well is if a lower league club has played a bigger team, regardless whether it's League Two against Championship, wherever it's been, and they've managed to scrape a draw, it's gone straight into penalties. It's given them a right opportunity because normally you get the draw and then the bigger team will ultimately come out on top over another half an hour of football, which no one really wants, the half an hour of football.
Yeah.
Not even the fans want it.
Or another entire game.
Yeah, or if it's a replay, another game. Straight into penalties, it just made it. I mean, some of the in the early rounds of the Carabao this year, some of the big championship, the bigger championship clubs were just losing out because the penalty shootouts were going against them.
Yeah.
It was great. It's just like, and it gets the game done as well.
It gives the fans something to remember as well. Like, I think in like a penalty shootout for that, you've got a 50-50 chance of winning the game. Fans in 20 years will remember that time Rochdale beat Man United on penalties. They won't remember that time when we got a replay and earned 150 grand. Like, but we lost 7-0 in the replay. Like, you know, it's a memory thing for the fans. So maybe there's a discussion to be had, and we'll probably have it again and again and again in the future until something does get done about this.
Well, so. I've got a feeling the reason this UEFA president fella was raising it as an issue is because I have no doubt there are plans to expand the Champions League in the future. Probably, it is a massive money spinner from UEFA. They want more teams in it. They want more group stages. They want knockout stages for the group stages, all this kind of thing. But at the end of the day, that only really affects the upper echelons of the Premier League, certainly. So why not just say, if you're a Premier League team, if you're in Manchester City or United or whoever has qualified for the Champions League that year, you don't play in the League Cup.
That is the option.
You step back. If you're in Europe, you step
back. It
makes
it a lesser
competition. It could be an opt-in.
It could be an
system.
Opt-in. So you scrap the League Cup. You tell Villa fans you're going to scrap the League Cup. They had a great day out last Sunday. And they gave City a game as well. They turned up and gave them a... And if that chance they had at the end, it goes in rather than it's the bar, they're into penalties.
Yep.
Straight into penalties. And they've got a great chance of winning the competition at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so again, for the clubs... There's very few, we discussed earlier in the week, there's very few opportunities for teams outside the big six to get to Wembley. And the Carabao is just another one. Villa fans, the youngest, especially the young generation, will live that.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be brilliant for them.
As a Newcastle fan, we haven't been to Wembley since 2000. So the only time we've been to Wembley since the new one was built was when Spurs lived there for 2 years.
Right.
Like, that's it. That's the only time
we've been. On our way to Wembley.
Yeah. So, like, I was watching the some behind-the-scenes stuff from Newcastle's YouTube last night, and all the fans were singing all the way through it, like, tell me, Ma, I'm not coming home for tea, we're going to Wembley. And I was like, I've never heard our fans sing that before. That's weird, like, unless it's like towards a championship playoff final, that's the closest we've been. And then we always come up automatic from the championship, so we don't even get to go Wembley then.
These comments, by the way, they are from a bigger presentation and an interview that was given by the UEFA president talking about the future of UEFA, in which he said the organisation should have purpose over profit going forward. I assume he mixed those two words up the wrong way around.
Profit over purpose.
But the one interesting thing that I took from it, actually, which I want to touch on very quickly, was he spoke about Manchester City and then potentially lifting the Champions League this season. And he describes Manchester City as a valuable asset to UEFA and says there would be no problems at all if they lifted the Champions League trophy at the end of this season.
Did he say that through very gritted teeth?
He must have done, yeah.
Surely, if the ban sticks, and it's a big if,
it's big if.
It's embarrassing for UEFA if
big
City
time.
Go on and lift the Champions League.
Big time.
So, can we take a hint from this that maybe UEFA don't want the ban to stick? That it was just a heavy fine that they hope will be overturned by the arbitration for sport?
They're in a sticky situation because how do you... Ultimately, he's right, as in Man City need to be in the Champions League and be part of UEFA to have credibility, because everyone knows they're one of the best teams in the world. So how do you then ban them and go, well, we didn't need them anyway, but actually, we do kind of need them, because it's just a hard situation. Like, if you're going to put these rules in, teams that are so clever, they're going to have ways around it. And then you get caught out and you've got to punish them, but you don't want to punish them because...
Because you need them, yeah.
You need them, and it's like... It's like having a mate who's giving you a lift to work every day, but then you like sleep with his girlfriend, you're like, oh crap, like, oh, I needed him, like, oh, he's gonna kill me now. And it's like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. And it's just this situation where they just can't get out of it now. They've painted themselves into a corner.
Yeah.
And they're gonna have to either retreat or just fight their way through it.
They're just gonna have to, I think it just, they're gonna have to see it through now and hope, I suppose, if they're hoping that it's gonna get overturned, like, the best that City will probably get is a year. I think UEFA put a 2-year ban in with a view that it'll be one in the end, just get a year.
But even a year's a joke.
No ban, big fine. No ban, big fine. That's what I'm going with.
You can't give him a big fine, though. They're one of the richest clubs in the world. It means nothing, does it?
Exactly.
It's maybe you put a transfer embargo on City or something. Maybe that's what they do instead, rather than make it. But then all City will do is just save all the money until they've got to then go again, I suppose. But you know, they should have thought it through at the time, I suppose. You know, maybe waited until City got knocked out and then put the reimpose the ban or something. I don't know.
We'll have to wait and see what happens with that one. Marley, by the way, best analogy for City's financial situation that I've heard yet. Right, let's turn our focus to fantasy football. Welcome into the studio, the guru, Kieran. Hello, Kieran.
Hello.
Are you still top 5,000? Yes, last week you were very happy that you'd got into the top 5,000 of Fantasy Premier League. Have you retained that position over the last 7 days?
Well, I was top 5,000 off the back of last week.
So oh, right, OK.
I was celebrating, but on Monday. So hasn't actually been any games.
so no loss.
Yeah, still in there.
Excellent news in that case. Right, we've got some questions for you with regards to fantasy football. If you've got a question for the guru, you can get us on Twitter, at The Sports Social. Ask your questions there. Are you ready, guru?
Yep, let's go.
First question from Fantasy Frank. Which sounds like a name of an adult performer, that doesn't it? He says, it's a doubles games week. What to do? Hart says load with City players. We're obviously playing twice. They've got Manchester United and then they've got midweek game against...
Arsenal,
of course it is. But his head says Pep's going to just rotate massively, so maybe don't lump with City players. What are you saying, Kieran?
Yeah, I'm favouring Arsenal for double game week. Over City, because City have United as their first game. Who knows what's going to happen in a derby? And then Arsenal is a difficult one. Clean sheets aren't in abundance with Laporte out, and so City defenders aren't that attractive. Edison's probably the only one that's absolutely locked in for that double game week. And outside of that, as you say, high rotation. The only person I would bank on is Kevin De Bruyne, and he's just been announced as injured.
Yeah.
So who do you go to out of that squad? So I'm looking into Arsenal at the moment. My one transfer this week is I've shipped out Vardy and brought in Aubameyang, because I think he's locked in. He's the absolute point scoring guarantee.
You must have had money on the bank, in the bank then.
Is it only a million, 1.2 difference? Okay. I think it's a little bit more because Vardy's gone down, Aubameyang's gone up again. So I made that transfer pretty early in the week because I was seeing that happening. But he's my go-to into that squad. Everyone else, and we touched it last week, it's like there isn't a lot of value in that midfield otherwise. You've got Sakho, who's good, but he should be a defender, and that's where you should be getting points off him. But he has got 3 assists in his last 5 games, so good gamble if you just have a slight swap, but you haven't got a lot of cash in. But I'm banking it all on Aubameyang. He's going in as my captain.
Wow. Big call from the guru.
Well, he's got a nice easy game on Saturday, hasn't he?
He's got West Ham at home. West Ham at home, and then City who leak goals without Laporte. So, yeah, I think he's a good shout.
What about the other Arsenal forwards in that situation? Lacazette, potentially Pepe?
Yeah, they're just not getting consistent game time. Pepe is all over the place in terms of performance anyway. So a little bit of a good run of form, but... I wouldn't transfer him he's 9.5, so you're going to have to take out someone like De Bruyne, and I'm going to have him every other week over Pepe. So the problem with Lacazette isn't really starting enough, so their other forward, what's the name?
Nketiah.
Yeah, Nketiah, look, amazing value. Cheap, I think he's 4.3 at the moment in the game.
I was genuinely starting to think about Nketiah, but I'm just worried that when I put him in, he's going to drop him.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be like, oh, there we go.
He's a gamble, but at 4.3, if you've got Greenwood or someone on the bench and he's coming in a double game week and there's no one else and you can't afford Aubameyang, good for a gamble. He wouldn't be the centre point of my strategy, but I think he's worth a shout.
Okay. Priya says, how have the FA Cup games this week affected the future games and how do I prepare for that now? Because I assume we're going to have a games week where there aren't as games get knocked off because there's FA Cup games and there'll be a double games week at some point in the future.
Yeah. So we're into that final phase of the season that I've been talking about every single week. I've been imploring all of you to save your chips. Because this is where it starts to get messy and where people start to pull ahead. So this is what's going to happen across the next few weeks, right? Ready?
Pen and paper at the ready.
Yeah, rolling sleeves up. So you've got your first double game week, 29. Only one team playing twice there. Then it starts to get messy. Game week 31, which is 2 weeks, only 4 games are playing across this week. 6 have been cancelled. So you've only got Spurs versus West Ham, Burnley versus Watford, Liverpool versus Palace and Wolves versus Bournemouth. So unless you've already got players, a lot of players in those banks, you've only got 2 weeks to get ready for that.
Right.
But I think the prevailing advice will be to save chips as well. Don't even use them on that, because you're only really going to have your big deciders, which are your wild card and your free hit, going into your next weeks. So then when you hit game week 34, that's where you have 6 to 8 normal games. The only one I think that would be confirmed cancel at the moment is City-Newcastle. And they're going to try and rearrange as many of the missing games from week 28 and 31 into game week 34, but they can't fit them all in there either.
You know that scene in A Beautiful Mind where Russell Crowe's got
yeah.
those numbers?
And then, but that one has its own missing games, as we said, but you do get some dull game weeks. And then all the ones that haven't happened across the season today all get shoved into game week 37.
Okay.
And so you get the 10 guaranteed games, but then all of the extra ones. So people see the greatest value in game week 37, but it's the second to last game week of the season. And so using a wild card then, you're only going to get 2 weeks of value into it. You're really about getting that week most effective as possible. So I'm still trying to work out my perfect chip strategy. Mm. What I think I'm going to do is, because I've got three Liverpool players, I've got a Burnley player, I've got a Tottenham player, I've got two Wolves players, I'm probably going to bring in another one, and then maybe Sarr or some from Watford. I reckon I can get 9 players for a blank game week 31.
So you're going to ride that out.
So I'm
going to
ride that one
chip.
In and go for the high value ones, which are the big double game weeks, and use my chips to get in the people who could be most effective. Particularly if I was using a chip next week, I've already got three Liverpool players and everyone else is sort of toss. So I'm not really, like, I'm not going to bring in a whole team of Burnley players to start raking in points.
How does Europe change your mindset though? Because Wolves obviously got another two-legged tie coming up in Europe. Does that affect anything?
It affects my choice of players. So I'm probably not going to go for Jota because he tends to get rotated. Jimenez plays every game. I'll put him in. Doherty has played every game in Europe. They do rotate their back line a little bit. So I'm probably going to land on Boley as my third because players like Sice seem to get rotated out. So that's where I'm sitting at. That makes me very cautious about getting like Traore in.
Yeah.
But I've already got Tati, I've already got Jimenez, so I've just got to play with that third player. So I'm going to go, I think, free hit for 34, then wild card in 36 to allow me to bench boost for 37. So that I get a full squad, all double game weeking for that final stretch of the season.
There you go. There's your answer. Go and have a lie down.
Next season, next season we're going to get, Minority Report with all the with the little gloves and the technology. We're going to have that. We're going to video it. And we'll put you on there. Put it on our YouTube channel.
Right. Final question from you, and you've kind of touched on this already. So he says, "I've lost faith in Vardy. He's gone. Who do I get instead?" You've said you're going for Aubameyang. Is it time to lose faith in Vardy first off? Because he hasn't scored since January.
Hasn't, but I was betting on him huge last week, and then he got that niggling training injury. So the things that have kept him out, stopped him scoring, sort of, they can't be planned for. I still think when he plays, he's a great player and he gets chances and he's got a great run of games. I'm moving him out because I can get Aubameyang in. Unless you're making transfers with the mind of game week 31. So if you haven't already got Jimenez or you're trying to make money to bring in Moura or Ali or something for that game week 31, I'd say still ride it out. Keep an eye on the presses. So we'll find out today whether he's fit for the weekend. If he's fit, I'd be tempted to keep him in. Mostly because, as I've pointed out, you're going to need to use these transfers intelligently over the next couple of weeks. Vardy isn't playing 31, so if you can get in a striker who's playing that week, then it makes sense. Otherwise, you're just shipping him out for someone who also isn't going to play that week. So you need to prioritise where you can be effective. And I'd say you're looking at getting players in who are going to play.
I suppose you've got two other good strikers and maybe a decent player on the bench. You can kind of risk it and maybe keep him in there and rely on the auto sub.
Yeah, well, I say just look at the presser. If he's going to start, I would bet on him to score this weekend. And he's and there for his next 4 weeks outside the black one. So I think it makes sense.
There you go. There are your fantasy football tips for the week. Get advice from the Guru via our Twitter account at The Sports Social. Get featured on next week's podcast. Guru, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Lee, Marley, thank you very much.
Thank
Cheers,
you.
Guys. Thank you.
Make sure you hit subscribe on this podcast so you never miss an episode. Full match previews for all the Premier League games available first thing tomorrow morning on our preview show. If you have hit subscribe, you'll get that as soon as it's ready. And we'll see you next time on Football Social Daily.
Football Social Daily with German Doner Kebab. Kebabs done right every time.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.